freedom fighter, Dalai Lama from a weed supplier. I'm Muhammad to the rap game, that's my last name. My first should be Elijah, and I need a choir. Freak a flyer, gold medallion, Jesus peace. I'm the one, the real Jesus Maya, cause I'm trying to get niggas to leave the street. And I don't need to be, cause I can easily speak to these niggas through the frequencies to compete with me. You gon' need a priest to preach your sweetest needs, to give a hell of an Easter speech. I keep the heat right there underneath the seat. Got pulled over by the police this week. They ask me why I got this fully loaded piece with me. I say, officer, I'm just trying to make it home peacefully. So I'm riding with a rifle, another iron in the Bible. Call my niggas out in Paris, have them climb up the Eiffel. We don't give a fuck, cause it's all about survival. When you caught up in the cycle, when you feel like you're entitled to more than what you're getting, it'll turn you homicidal. Y'all know that I'm the best, but I swear y'all in denial. And they don't wanna say it, cause I'm better than they idol. Got the mind of a disciple when I'm rocking the revival. But I'm soon to be the king, fuck you and your team, by the boom, by the beam. If you don't like the way I rule my regime, let them up before June, nigga, spring. I'm Desmond Tutu, mixed with the Zeus of the Zulus. I'm the leader of the new school. Man, I swear I'm gonna feel like man. I want my troops to feel like.
I mean, if we're honest, for a lot of well-meaning, open-minded white people, the sight of a young black man in a hoodie still evokes a twinge of fear. I mean, if we're honest, for a lot of well-meaning, open-minded white people, the sight of a young black man in a hoodie still evokes a twinge of fear. I mean, if we're honest, for a lot of well-meaning, open-minded white people, the sight of a young black man in a hoodie still evokes a twinge of fear.
Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Man, it's good to be back, chat with you all. I am in a process of writing a bunch of different articles. But since the publishing process takes a minute, I wanted to just jump on. I haven't done my podcast in a minute. I needed to catch up, and I wanted to give something early. So I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what some of those articles are talking about, and just some things in the media that's just been on my mind. Starting with Hillary. I started with Hillary because Hillary just said, let's be honest, the sight of a, I'm paraphrasing, the sight of a black man in a hoodie still causes fear in well-meaning, basically in good old white folks, is what she was saying. And listen, man, I'm a Democrat, I'm a progressive, but I'm just at this place where you got to really understand that you're going to have to work for this vote, man. I mean, I'm not voting for no Republicans, but it might be the difference in me not showing up. And as somebody who's been in like in progressive organizations, like I have been the vice chair of the California Young Democrats Black Caucus. I'm a part of a progressive group called New Leaders Council. I was trained by them. I sat on that board for a while. And my beef and my issue was always that black issues never got raised. It just never did. But as soon as white folks started getting, you know, pushed out of San Francisco because of tech, we was all over that. Or as soon as there was the issue around gay rights, we was all over that. And I'm all for that. I'm supportive of that. But there was never any love like shown to black issues. And, you know, so, I mean, this leads me to talk about, I mean, this leads me to talk about what happened at Netroots. Now, I voted at every single juncture that I could vote. I don't see myself not voting. But in this field, right, like when the Black Lives Matter folks hopped on stage at Netroots, and let me be clear, like I know the person that runs Netroots. We are part of the same like progressive organization. He is a cool dude. I got mad love for that dude. But I wasn't mad that these folks bum rushed the stage because black issues need to start taking center like stage at with progressives. And I think that folks have been taking our vote for granted for way too long. So O'Malley, you know, you know, he swallowed the ball when he talked about All Lives Matter, and I'm gonna get on that in a minute. And Bernie was, you know, upset, right? And I actually like Bernie. I don't think Bernie is burned from that. I think that Bernie is, I think Bernie is cool peoples. I think that, but he needed to be informed. And bro, I'm happy that you marched with Martin back in the day. That's cool. I think that's cool as hell. But we talking about right now, B. And you need to know what the issues are going on. I mean, you need to know what issues are front and center for black folks, because Sandra Bland didn't kill herself. And the fact that folks are telling us that this woman who we've seen on video, we've seen her how alive she was, we've seen how anxious she was to like go to court and fight this stuff to the end. I just don't see her killing herself over a routine traffic stop. It just don't make sense. It just don't make sense, right? I see you, Citizen Stewart. I appreciate you chiming in. Continue to, brother. You know, and so that's not like that. Our issues need to start taking front and center. And I think that our people standing up and saying, "Nah, you about to answer these questions and you about to feel this." You know what I mean? And I think that Bernie's people are getting a little, you know, out of hand. And they got real offended, and they got real offended with the how black is Bernie or whatever the hashtag was. It was a funny hashtag, man. But I don't think Bernie's out the race. Actually, I think Hillary's biggest downfall is hubris. And I think that she showed hubris last time when she was around, you know, when she dealt with Obama. And honestly, as a black man, I'm still feeling the effects of how she came at Obama. I wasn't feeling that during the moment, but she felt like she was entitled to like to that nomination, and she treated him as such, and she wasn't ready for when she got punched in the mouth by that campaign. That campaign was just really well ran, and I can see the same thing happening again. We know that Hillary is supposed to win. We know that she's the favorite, but I'm telling you, this reminds me a lot of when she was going against Obama, and I think Bernie is really starting to resonate with folks. But that's one thing, man. It's just interesting. And so this weekend you saw people, not this weekend, but earlier this week, there was a rally in Ohio, for the Black Lives Matter folks. They out there doing some good work. And I'm watching on Periscope and Vine. I'm watching young kids get maced. And I mean, I could, you know, these kids wasn't, you know, out there doing the most. They were just protesting. I just see, and you just get the image of this white dude just, I mean, he got heavy-handed on the mace, too. Like, he didn't just spray, like, psh, psh, psh. It was, like, it was just long. It was just, like, a long, continuous spray. Like, it was crazy, right? That's the image that we see, and he had no qualms about it. I'm gonna sip this tea. Special tea. It's not just regular tea. It may or may not have vodka in it. I'm over 21, though, so that's okay. But yeah, man, so I watched that. These are the images that we getting. Like, black folks are really saying, like, yo, we are a force to be reckoned with. And I know that we voted 90% like for Democrats, and I'm with that, right? Like, I've done work in the Democratic Party. Like, but you're gonna have to earn this vote, yo, this time. Okay, for these folks to just be spraying. It was a 14-year-old boy that got maced, and like the crowd started chanting. It wasn't cool. It wasn't the business. And so, I mean, that really affected me, right? And like just being able to watch that. Just this past week, I was in New Orleans, and you know, I'm also one of these proponents for like ed reform. I don't even want to call it ed reform. I think ed reform has such a bad. I felt if my parents were rich and white, they would have had a lot of options for me. It was a charter school, a traditional public. Charter schools are public schools as well. My mom, who was broke, who was poor, who was not educated, she didn't have any choice. She had to send me to the school that was in my zip code. And remember, like, if you've listened to, you know, my parents battled with drugs early on in my life. And by the grace of God, it was at least 11 elementary schools. I moved around that much. I went to a bunch of schools in Chicago, a bunch of schools in Kentucky, and then a bunch of schools in the Bay Area, in Hayward, Oakland, wherever, right? And they were, like, when I got here in California, it was so bad. So, telling black people that they shouldn't have a choice in the type, it's a real problem for me. Now, that doesn't mean I want to dismantle public education, pro or con charters or whatever, or even privates. Listen, I'm for what works for you in that party, in that progressive movement. If there is a kids, I'm all for that. I'm black first. Like, I think folks need to really, I'm a black man first. It means a lot to me. Our people, man, like folks and Latino folks in a bubble, and people that would never send their kids to the schools that they want to mandate that I send my kids to, or the schools that I went to, that's a problem for me. That's the highest form of racism to me. For public schools, traditional public schools getting better. I'm all for that, yo. Like, I have so much pride in Lafayette Elementary School, Westlake. But I'm not mad at a parent if they look at the numbers and they say, I don't want to send my kids here. I want to send my kids to this charter. Stuff is crazy. Listen, I have nephews that go to a KIPP school out here to Berkeley Manor, which is an Aspire school. Now, here's the thing. The walking on tape and all that stuff, I'm not with all that, right? But with my people, this is what we know. Teach those basics and STEM, they can get that. You know what? I'm building him up when he gets home. Because I'm, right? But a lot of people don't have the type of access in education that I have. I've worked in schools. I've worked with young people in schools. The last 11 years of my career, the first five was, you know, a big chunk of that was spent as a social worker who worked in schools and worked directly with families. The other, real results, we got young people in and through college, right? These young people came in with less than a 2.0 average. And we got those kids and administrations and working with school boards. Like, I've worked with this thing at a bunch of different angles. And I'm not mad at the parent that says, this is what I want to do for my kid. And guess what? In Oakland, those tools away from parents if you want. And just because those parents are not at school board meetings and yelling about charter this or just like, yo, no, this is not what happened. The 30,000, they continuing to go. And so there's a lot of work problem with white folks like Diane Ravitch telling me that my kid. And taking that choice away. Let me choose a traditional public school. Because I might. But lady who will never send your kid to the hood ever. Ever. I done seen kids robbed at school. I done seen race wars in school. You're not about to tell me that. I'm sorry. And I'm going to be defiant about that, man. It just don't really. And I can respect your work, man. But this respectability politics is like, it's going way too far. And I feel like if you're not getting personal, a problem. I think everybody trying to be nice to each other. And I can respect a whole bunch of people, but yo, this was my life. I went to horrible, horrible schools. And I'm not the rule, yo. That's the exception. Like, it was the grace of God, yo. It was like, I mean, living in like Chicago, then Kentucky reason. But I'm here but for the grace. Listen, let me say that again, because I know people get real weird when you say something about God. So I'm going to say it again, because it might bother you. But it's for... But for the grace is the reason why I'm here. Like, one of my best friends, if the camera was better, I would show you the mantle that's in my house of one of my close friends. And he was murdered because he chose a different lifestyle. But he also wasn't educated. Great. My friend couldn't read, yo. He's in the ninth grade. He's a 14-year-old. And he couldn't read. He was people to go to. Nah, man. Nah, B. It's not happening. So then we move on. I mean, that brings, this is what I wrote my latest article on. Well, I wrote two articles. One article is already out. And that article is on Huffington Post. And it's for black parents. Well, it's for parents. You are in the traditional public, whether you're in charters or whatever, right? Because even if you're in a charter school, it's difficult for you to navigate. Like, I gave a bunch of tips around how to do that. You should go to Huffington Post and you should search for Charles Cole and read the article and like it and comment. I'm not going to give you everything on it, so you can go to where you are in your life. Regardless, if you went to college, got a master's degree, got a PhD, or you dropped out of middle school, are enough to be the quarterback for your child's education team. You're enough. Because a lot of times, our parents don't feel like they're enough. Thank you, Angie. There's a feeling of inadequacy when our parents are down to. It's just, it can be really tough. You know what I mean? And so the article just shows you how to build that team and just a synopsis of that. So build a good relationship with at least brownies. I don't care what you need to do. But get that advocate inside the school. I would say get a teacher and get somebody from admin. So whether it's a principal or vice principal or, right, be in close with those people. And then now start thinking about the people that's significant in your aunt or that favorite uncle. Basically the person that can talk to your kid when your kid don't want to listen to you. It's just, it's them being teenagers. It's not you. It just happens. I know it hurts parents' feelings and all that crap, but it's true. Like, you need these people. And basically, in that article, I teach you how to coordinate those folks. Because everybody's working hard for your kid, right? But you have to create the synergy so everybody's working hard in the right direction. That way, I'm telling you, you get just astronomically better results, all right? When people are communicating. When we know that Johnny had a bad weekend, maybe he went to go see his dad, and him and his dad got into it, and mom sends an email out to the entire group and say, hey, Johnny had a really foul weekend with his pops, just so you know that. So when Johnny shows up to class and he's not himself, that teacher understands that and acts accordingly. Or that basketball coach understands that and pulls him aside and has that conversation with him, right? Like, it's synergy is just really important. The other article that I'm working on now that's going to take a while to get out is around this whole Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter thing. I don't know what the title is going to be yet, but I want to be real ignorant with it and call it, come on, B, stop it. Stop insulting me, or don't insult me, homie. Like, this is the thing. You are an idiot if you don't. Let me see. You're an idiot. But if you feel that we don't understand that all lives matter, you're an idiot. And you think even less of us than we gave you credit for. Let me start by saying this. I am a fully developed human being. That means that I can have a complex set of emotions. That means that I can care about multiple things. So I don't need you to tell me when I say Black Lives Matter, I don't need you to tell me that all lives matter. Or how about I look at black on black crime? Here is a fact for you. Most of the people that do work nationally around Black Lives Matter and all this police brutality started their career and all their work, you know what they were doing? Trying to eradicate black on black crime. The work that I started in was around bettering young black and brown kids, so they have more options, and so they don't feel the need to go out and sell drugs, or they don't feel the need to go out and rob somebody. They don't feel the need to go out and prostitute themselves. So they don't feel the need to feel that beast. Feed that beast. Excuse me. We don't need you to tell us that. Just because I say Black Lives Matter doesn't mean I don't think other lives matter. The point is that what we've been seeing is that the actions that people have been taking have been constantly showing us that our lives are less significant than those of our white counterparts. Because remember what Hillary just said, right? She just said that, let's be honest. Like, that's how she started it, because we friends, right? She started like we was homies. She's like, let's be honest. Negroes and hoodies scare me. Us decent, meaning to do well white people. Damn my degrees. Damn the sacrifices that I made for this community. Damn my work of being a social worker, of being a youth worker, of being somebody who supported teachers, somebody who supported principals, all that stuff in the community. Because when I wear a hoodie, all that is gone. That's a problem. And it's disrespectful. So stop disrespecting me, B. Stop getting at me like I am subhuman. Stop getting at me like I can't care about two things at once. Stop getting at me like I don't mourn when a black person takes another black life, because I do. But let me tell you another secret about black people, because I know I got some white folks that listen to this, right? There are some issues that we argue or that we debate or that we work on or go to task on in an insular way. So black on black crime tends to be a conversation held by black people amongst black people. See, as a black person, the way I grew up, is that you don't always go outside your family and talk about family issues. That's just not something that we do, for good or for bad, right? So there are a lot of issues that we discuss amongst the black community. Another one of those things is the use of the word nigga. Now, check it. I've already gone on record saying this. I will never have a conversation with a white person around if me, Charles Cole III, can use the term nigga or not. It's just not a conversation that you need to be a part of. The same way I don't need to be a part of a conversation between gay people and the use of the word faggot. If they want to invite you into that conversation, that's fine. But whatever they decide to call themselves, that's not my community, right? Now, I can stand in solidarity. I can say, yo, like, I think that folks deserve the right to get married, and I do. But I also know my place because I didn't have to deal with the persecution that came with living that lifestyle. The same way white people don't have to deal with the persecution that comes with being a black person. Let me give you another example. This is a lighthearted one, but it's true. Now, when it's in mixed company and Tyler Perry comes up, you know what I say about Tyler Perry? I'm so proud of how that brother has gotten to a market that's not for him and built his own studio. That's huge. That brother came in and slapped everybody. You know what I say when it's just me and black people? You know that was like the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, right? You know that's some coon stuff, right? Now, I'm letting you in a little bit because here's the thing. It's a complex thing, right, with black people. I want to see that brother succeed. I want to see Spike Lee succeed. That's why it bothered me when they had their public feud and other people started to comment on it, right? But I also know quality, and I also know when I feel like people cooning. So there's a complex stew of feelings between Tyler Perry and how he gets down. But guess what I'm not doing? I'm not having that conversation with somebody outside of that family. It's just not for you. I'm sorry if you feel entitled. I'm sorry if you feel entitled to be a part of that conversation. I'm sorry if you are a young white person and you feel entitled to be able to be a part of the nigger conversation because you hear people say it in front of you and you want to say it. Be careful where you say it. There are some black people that are accepting of you saying that, and there are some that will punch you. You roll those dice at your own risk. But so the other thing was, so that's how I feel about the All Lives Matter thing. Now, the other piece that I wrote about that's coming out in a few days is when black people say All Lives Matter. Oh, let me drink the special tea. Let me take a few sips of the special tea before I do that. All right. Ready for this? So when black people do that, I really don't think that they understand the impact of that. I got to pull my notes out because I've been writing on this, and this is like a lot of this article. I don't think they understand the value they add to the establishment. Yo, you become, if you're a black person and you screaming All Lives Matter, you become the lifeblood of the status quo movement, the anti-movement. Because white people will find you and they will lift you up and they will lift up those words and they will quote you. That's how they will make their mark, by saying, well, Stephen A. Smith said all lives matter. And we don't ever bring up these issues when it's black on black crime. And I use Stephen A. for a specific reason. Now, I know Stephen A. ain't listening to this, but I'm going to talk to him as if he was, because I actually like Stephen A. I know that a lot of people have disparaged Stephen A., but I respect Stephen A., yo. Like, as somebody who was minoring in journalism and didn't finish that, but I really like Stephen A. I was so happy when he got his deal from ESPN and it was better than a lot of athletes' contracts. I thought that was so dope. I think he's dope. I think he says some stuff that I don't agree with all the time, but that's his right, right? Like, he's there and he has to live his truth and he has to speak that. But I don't think that he understands that when he veers into these conversations, just how polarizing he can be, right? I don't know if he knows that he can be working against us at the same time. because people will focus on the things that he's saying. White folks will use that. And you become their puppet. Now, I'm not trying to disrespect you, and I don't agree with a lot of things you say, but I like you a lot, yo. And I'm not going to stop necessarily liking you. Like, I watch First Take. I know, and that's a lot of black people that don't. They be, turn that off. I support you, though, and I continue supporting. But folks like that, they feed the lifeblood of these people that want to be bigoted, that want to say things like all lives matter, or y'all don't focus enough on black-on-black crime. Or, yeah, you know what? I'm scared of black people in hoodies, too. Right? Like, I get that. Yo, like, that, like, it's just, it has such an impact, and it hurts us so much. It hurts what we're trying to do. I'm moving the table too much. My camera couldn't take it. It hurts us, though, with what we're trying to do. And so, I'm just asking that, like, if you are a black person, and I mean, I just go on Facebook and I see it, man. Or like these folks, these black people that I saw recently just making excuses for these police officers. Wrong is just wrong, B. It's just wrong. Like, I can't, listen, man. Bill Cosby will forever be one of the greatest comedians of all time. Now, I'm not the biggest Bill Cosby fan. I wasn't to begin with. But historically in comedy, him and Richard Pryor are the godfathers of this. But you're not infallible. I can't defend what happened with those people. I don't know. Like, that evidence is overwhelming. Now, for me, that doesn't necessarily, I mean, he is in comedy what he is. I think that, like, if you are a black comedian now, you have him to thank, Pryor to thank, and Eddie Murphy to thank. Right? Like, I'm not going to act like that's not the truth. But I'm not going to sit up here and make excuses for bruh either. That's just not my job. I don't need to do that. And if you a black person talking about, you don't need to do the All Lives Matter thing. I mean, what, you got to be accepted? Maybe if you screaming All Lives Matter, it's because you not doing enough around black on black crime. Maybe it's because you not mentoring nobody in our community. How about that? How about we all just mentor some people? I got a bunch of articles about that too, because I believe in the power of it. But y'all gotta stop insulting us, man. That's an insult. Stop insulting me. I know what I do. I know how I get down. I know how I put on for the city, yo. I put on for all the places that I live. This work don't stop. I'm just as upset when a black person is killed by another black person as I am when they killed by cops. Because a life is a life is a life. Dummy. I'm not a Neanderthal. I'm not an ape. I'm fully evolved. And I can hold multiple thoughts at once. I promise you, I'm pretty good at it. So, I just, that stuff just fuels people, man. When black people say stuff like that, it fuels the kid. I remember when I was in college more than 10 years ago. I'm getting old. Got a birthday coming up on the 30th. Be 32. It's crazy, right? But I remember being in college and this white boy argued me down about my experience with racial profiling. Let me tell you these experiences. The first one, I was going to see my then girlfriend. I had a green Honda Civic. I love that car. I took real good care of that car, right? And so I get out, I'm pull up. This cop is started following me a few blocks away. I pull up to my girl's house. I just got through working out and playing ball. And as I'm getting out the car, they run up on me, right? And when they run up on me, they got the guns out. And they like, get the F out the car. Get the F out the car, nigga. So I get out, And they talked to me so bad, yo. And it was a white dude and a black dude. They talked to me so bad. They cuffed me. They made me sit on the curb. They pulled guns out on me. And they went through my trunk. And then people started to come outside. And I just had to sit there. And this is one of the first moments in my life where I'm a college student. And I had never been in any real trouble. I had worked real hard to do and stay on the straight and narrow and do what I was supposed to do. And now I'm humiliated because people are coming out and they don't even know the story, right? But I know what they expect. They walked me to the door of my girl's house and asked her if she knew me. That's one. Two, I'm a little older. Grad school. I went on a date. I had this truck. I had this, it was a Ford Expedition. And I just put these speakers in it. Cause you know, I'm still hood. I like the speakers though. It was a really nice speaker kit. I miss it. Right? And they pulled me over. And bruh came, and I had a date with me, and bruh came and was like, "Whose car is this?" And I was like, "It's my car." It was like, "Nigga, who car is this? You tried to like emasculate me in front of like my date." Like I had to deal with that and I had to swallow that, yo. Like there was no talking back. There was no give me your badge number in any of those situations because you just want to get out the situation. I didn't want to be a Michael Brown, right? Because we see what happened with that. They'll leave you outside dead on the street for hours. So, but this white boy in my classroom, when I'm telling him this in grad school, was like, "Well, what did you do to provoke them?" This Negro. What did I do to provoke them? Bro, I just told you two real life examples of somebody who's dedicated their life to public service. To somebody who has gotten multiple degrees. To somebody who has, like, bypassed the MBA for the MPA. That's a good few $100,000 a year that I could be making. But you know what fueled his hubris? What fueled his arrogance? What fueled his ignorance? Because he got black people saying shit like, "Racial profiling don't exist." Or translate that in today to "all lives matter." Come on, bruh. Anyway. So, that's the damage you're doing. And, you know, I think that people, you know, you work hard to keep emotion out of journalism and out of writing. I'm on a different plane now. I got into writing for HuffPost and other places because I didn't feel like nobody from 54th and Gaskill's voice was being represented. Everybody's so damn nice. Ain't nobody talking with emotion. Nobody's talking with heart. Well, I'm talking to somebody who went through the crack epidemic. I'm talking about somebody who watched his parents smoke that. I'm talking about somebody who watched both his parents be arrested. I'm talking about somebody who lived in homeless shelters. I'm talking to somebody who like stood in like soup kitchen lines and that every Christmas had to stand outside and get toys at some of the states that I had to go to. Yo, my mom worked so hard. She tried to get me into Berkeley High. And we almost went as far as using somebody's address. You know, my mama could have been a rep just because she wanted me to go to a good school so I didn't end up having to go through what she went through. This is the me that you get. But the one thing that I did learn in doing this work and being in this industry and doing education and doing public service is that people are passionate about what's hot at the moment. I'm not here for that. You're gonna see by just how ratchet this next article is about to be. I promise you. But anyway, I did get to go to New Orleans with like it was about 20 black educators. They just dope. It was just one of the best experiences that I ever had in an amazing city. Every time I go, I'm amazed and like humbled by what I see, and I just had such a good time, like, talking to these people. That's really Chris Stewart for putting us together, man. I just got so much respect for this brother. Austin, he's just a dope dude. Howard Fuller was there. He's just a dope dude. Not people's names that was there or whatever. But, I mean, it was just some amazing people that's leading, like, Black Lives Matter stuff that's in different parts of the country and just are warriors for this work. I'm talking about people that's been in this game for 50 years. And I'm just humbled by it. And I just want to get better, man. I just want to get to a place where, you know, my yeses really mean yes and my noes mean no. I want to build this brand out to where, I'm sorry, the clink is prison, jail. He's going to be out in a little bit. He could have got way worse time, but I want to have a brand to where, because I know how hard it's going to be for him to get out and get back into school. But I want to be in that position to where it's like, hey, come on, man, you my assistant. Brand out. But I'm going to make sure he all right, but I'm going to work on this brand so I can make sure that him and other folks that a lot of these things that folks be having to worry about out here in these streets, because I don't want him to have to go back. And shout out to Obama, man, for reinstating the Pell Grant for convicted felons. You know, I think that's dope. And he's doing that in hopes to reduce recidivism. And I think that's fly. And I know he's going to get flack for it, man. But homie's going in these last 2 years. He's not, I'm not mad at him. I feel like he's learned a lot over the time that he's been here. I feel like he was really pragmatic. I know a lot of people not feeling him, but I'm a fan. But anyway, I appreciate you all, take my time and pick the right music for the occasion. I think that I picked some decent exit music. I think you're going to like it. But at any rate, you can check out my writing on Huffington Post. Just search Huffington Post and Charles Cole. And Converters ends with an O-R-S. And you can always check back issues of the podcast. I'm posting them now on Energy Converters as well. But if you want to just .podbean.com. But as always, man, I appreciate the support. Bless me. And I just hope that I can just be better at this work that we're doing. And I promise you, y'all will see some more consistent basis, because I think that there's a voice that's missing out there representing me and how I feel. So I got blessed with an opportunity to get up with y'all and take care of each other. All right, peace out.
I mean, if we're honest, for a lot of well-meaning, open-minded white people, the sight of a young black man in a hoodie still evokes a twinge of fear.
All's my life I has to fight, nigga. All's my life I hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. Where pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster, and silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Right, nigga, all right. We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil. I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. deposit. Every other zero, thinking of my partner. Put the candy, painting on a Rico, digging in my pocket. And a profit big enough to feed you every day. My logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pick back and chat, I trap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, when the killer's dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon'